Rosie TV.
I've taught on this before, but that's okay. I'm going to teach on it again. It is a great lesson. It's solid. It's a rule of scriptural interpretation. Hell, it's a rule of language. And this is going to help you when you run into any other metaphors in the scripture. That's right, going to be looking at the metaphor. And when you see this law of language, you'll know what to do with it. This is Martin Zunder. Welcome to MZ TV. I don't even need to do this. I mean, this is just a rock solid proof, but I don't even need it. Because the lake of fire sounds so mysterious, so mystical. What's the lake of fire? Ooh, the lake of fire can't be a lake of fire. Nobody's ever seen a lake of fire. And Bob Evely pretends like, well, God hasn't given us much information on this. And yet God says in Revelation 20:14, this is the second death, the lake of fire. It's the second death. So he definitively defines it for us, God does. And then what's death? Well, this is common sense 101, also scripture 101. It's the opposite of life. So it's that simple. End of story. Anybody who after that says, well, I don't understand why God, but it doesn't make sense to me. I feel bad that it doesn't make sense to you. I'm not saying it makes sense to me. It doesn't have to. It does, but it doesn't have to. This is what God says. This is what God says. Am I mocking people who are questioning God? Yes, I am. So here's the thing. I'm going to get into this tomorrow. Even when death is used figuratively, it's not here. But even if the second death were figurative, wait till this tomorrow, it still can't be what these second death is a second life aficionados think it is. Or think it's doing. Doesn't do that. So let's begin a lesson on figures of speech. Going to look at three figures here. Simile, metaphor, and implication. Okay, I have a friend named Julie. And there she is right there. Met her in 1966 at age 7 years old. And I've never been the same since. My friend Julie has many cat-like characteristics. So if I say to you, Julie is like a cat, everybody gets it. It's a simple figure of speech. That's a figure of speech. It's called a simile. Something is like some other thing. Julie is like a cat. But what if I say, Julie is a cat? That's a figure of speech. It's known as a metaphor. It gets rid of the stated likeness. And it says that one thing is another thing, which it is not. Is Julie literally a cat? No. But does everybody know what I mean when I say Julie's a cat? Of course. Of course. But it's not literally true, but it's a strong way of saying something. It's a ploy of language to make a colorful statement, to make an ordinary situation, although there's nothing ordinary about this situation, to make it strong. Now, I walk up to Miss Newmar here. My friend's last name is Newmar. And I say, cat. I look right at her, point at her, and say, cat. That's also a figure of speech. It's a figure of implication. The likeness is implied. It's even a stronger way. We're going from weak to strong. Simile, metaphor, implication. Implication is like you're just stating it without even bothering with the metaphor. So, simile, metaphor, implication. One of my favorite metaphors. Thank you, Julie, for everything. Now, one of my favorite metaphors in the scripture is Isaiah 40, verse 6, all flesh is grass. I've used this before because it is the classic metaphor. And now we're going to get into Revelation 20:14. You'll see how. All flesh is grass. What? Is Isaiah crazy? Flesh isn't grass. Well, neither is Julie a cat. But there is a law with the metaphor. And this law stands true every time. And the law of the metaphor is this. Well, first let me show you the construction of the metaphor. The metaphor consists of two nouns on either side of the verb to be. In this case, the verb to be is. And the two nouns are flesh and grass. It is a strain to understand a metaphor, because when you first think of it, all flesh is grass. How could that be? So it's a strain. If we say all flesh is like grass, then it's a lot easier. And your next question would be, well, how is flesh like grass? And if you want to know the answer to that, I might as well go there. Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8, verse 7 says, the grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. So like grass, flesh is very transient. It goes its way. A little breath. A breath of death, and the grass withers, likewise flesh. So we're going to make a strong statement, though. We're not going to be wimpy. Isaiah's not going to play it light and say, all flesh is like grass. All flesh is grass. Got it. It's a metaphor. In order to understand the metaphor, you have to understand that both nouns are literal. This is a requirement of all metaphors. Both nouns are literal, because it's hard enough understanding the association of flesh to grass. So we're going to help you by using simple nouns that you're familiar with. Do you know what flesh is? Yes, this is, it's your skin, your epidermis, all flesh, literal flesh. Do you know what grass is? Yeah, it's the stuff I got to mow every couple weeks, depending on where you live. Or some people, forget that kind, just the grass that you mow. The only figurative part of the metaphor is the verb, to be, because all flesh is not grass. We're saying that it is. And in order to understand that, you have to know what flesh is and you have to know what grass is. Therefore, and this is a metaphoric construction, this is not my idea, it's not my theory, this is a literary fact, that both nouns in a metaphor on either side of the verb to be are literal. You have to understand what flesh is and what grass is. Literal flesh, literal grass, in order to understand the relationship between them and the import of the word is. Now, Martin Luther, smart guy, right? The father of the Reformation. He did not even understand metaphors. Don't feel bad if you've never heard this before, if you don't get it. I'm driving towards Revelation 20:14. Lake of fire is the second death, because that's a metaphor. Okay, where do you see this? Okay, hang tough, hang tight. You're doing great. Now, maybe I'll bring Julie back later. I don't know. We'll see. If you're good. For some reason, Martin Luther, who hated the Catholic Church, still believed in transubstantiation. That is, he thought that the bread, when the Lord said, "This is my body," he thought that was the literal body of Christ. I don't know, too much beer or something, I don't know, but yeah, he was also constipated a lot. Yeah, that's true, he came to the realization of justification by faith while in the loo. Well, the bathroom, yeah. That's irrelevant. It might be relevant. But he was so sure of transubstantiation that apparently, this is the information I got, is that he would thunder at people, "This is my body, this is my body," quoting our Lord, "This is my body," at the Last Supper. But what Luther didn't realize is the very word he was emphasizing, "This is my body," is the only word in the metaphor that's not literal. It's not true that Jesus' body is a piece of bread. That's not literally true. Well, you calling Jesus a liar? Harold Martin Sanders calling Jesus. I'm not calling Jesus a liar. It's a metaphor. There's a relationship. Just like all flesh is grass, there's a relationship. And Julie is a cat. It's a relationship between the bread and his body. And what did he do? He broke the bread. And of course, The metaphor speaks eloquently of his body being broken. And then the disciples ate the bread. And we partake of his suffering, of his sacrifice. That's the metaphor. But in order to understand it, his body, his flesh, the body that went to the cross, literal, and the bread he's holding up is literal. You have to know what bread is. Oh yeah, you bake it and you break it. You have to know what his body is. The figurative part is. That's the part that's not literally true. And yet that's the part Luther's is. This is. Martin, come on. Revelation 20:14 is a metaphor. This is the second death, the lake of fire. In other words, the lake of fire is the second death. The lake of fire is the second death. It's a metaphor. What's the law of... why is it a metaphor? Fire is fire. You know what fire is. When you were a kid, you roasted a marshmallow over the fire. You throw a Yule log on the Christmas fire. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That's a fire. You know what that is. Okay, fire. Death. Death is when you stop breathing. The Lord removes his spirit. The body returns to the ground. The soul goes to the unseen. That's death. You know what death is. You have to know what literal death is and literal fire is in order to understand the relationship here. Because death is not fire. And fire is not death. Fire is fire and death is death. And what is this saying? What is the relationship then between the lake of fire and the second death? The relationship is that because the lake of fire causes the death, we're going to say it's death. Like my ex-mother-in-law's meatloaf. I would say privately to my wife, this meatloaf is death. Meatloaf is not literally death, but it tends to bring about death, tends to cause death. It was so bad. This meatloaf is death. There you go. The lake of fire is the second death. But what does this mean? If you're following the law of the metaphor, if you're following me, and I know you are, this means that the lake of fire is literal. That's the law of the metaphor. Lake of fire is literal, and the death is literal. The figurative part is, because fire is not literally death, and death is not literally fire. I'll give you a moment to wrap your head around that. Yeah. Somebody made a recent comment saying, I don't blame this person. This is a normal comment. So, obviously we have no idea what a lake of fire is, so we can't really say adamantly what this is. What do you mean we don't know what a lake of fire is? Of course. Do you know what a lake is? Yeah. Went swimming in the lake in the summer. Lake Erie, Lake Huron, Ontario. And the rest. And you know what fire is. We just determined that. So the lake of fire, wait for it, I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, so you shouldn't be surprised. The lake of fire is a lake filled with fire. But nobody's ever seen a lake of fire. Yes, that's true. I wonder if anyone in Egypt had ever seen a river of blood. No. But does that mean the rivers didn't turn to blood? If Moses had said, if he had broadcast his intentions ahead of time, I shall bring you a river of blood, the word would have gone around. Wonder what he means by river of blood. What's that? What does he mean by that? Because no one's ever seen a river of blood. It can't actually be a river of blood. And yet it was, wasn't it? Yes, it was a river of blood. Likewise, lake of fire. It doesn't matter if you've never seen it. God does not. It's not going to stop God from doing it. Well, what? Somebody's never seen it before? Okay, well, scratch that off. We'll have to do something else. But Martin, where's it going to be? I don't know. But Martin, how big is it going to be? I don't know. You see, these questions are interesting. We can talk about it, but it doesn't matter. Lake of fire causes death. Human beings are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. It's a metaphor. Martin, can you prove that's a metaphor? It doesn't seem like a metaphor to me. Oh, yes, I can. I know what you're thinking. I've been where you are. You're thinking, Martin, Revelation 2:14 doesn't really look like a metaphor construction. It says, this is the second death, the lake of fire. Martin, in that case, there's a pronoun, this, being used to substitute for lake of fire. You're correct. I'm glad you brought this up. Ordinarily, a pronoun has to agree in gender with the noun it's representing. This is the case in the Greek language. In this case, this is the second death, the lake of fire. This is referring to the lake of fire. Lake, the Greek word for lake is limne. So you would expect the pronoun this to be feminine. Limne is a feminine noun. So you would expect the this, which is the Greek word hautos, to be feminine. But in a metaphoric construction, a very unusual thing happens. A very, very strange thing. In a metaphoric construction, when a pronoun is substituted for the noun, the pronoun agrees in gender to the thing to which it is being compared, rather to the thing that it properly belongs to. This properly belongs to the lake of fire because it's being substituted for the lake of fire. And since limne, lake, is feminine, you would expect hautos, the pronoun, to be feminine. Yes, I know. Like I said, I was there, but guess what? Hautos is masculine. This is an anomaly of language that occurs only in a metaphoric construction. Hautos is masculine. It agrees in gender to the thing it is being compared to in the metaphor, which is death, thanatos, which is masculine. Oh, this is a metaphor. I want to end with this for today. There is another obvious. If you don't like that one, if you don't like the death is the absence of life and God defines the lake of fire perfectly, if you don't like any of that, I got one for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start with verse 22 because that's our favorite passage. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. The first fruit, Christ, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. Thereafter, the consummation. This is the consummation of the eons. What happens then, Martin? Paul tells us. Whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty and all authority and power, for he must be reigning until he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. That's a good thing, to be under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy is being abolished, death. Death. This is a magnificent pronouncement by Paul. This is pure prophecy. And here Paul is saying that death will be abolished. When? Verse 24, at the consummation. Thereafter, the consummation. This is the consummation of the aeonian times. At which time, verse 28, God becomes all in all. At which time, verse 26, death is abolished. But if these lake of fire is figurative people like Bob Evely, Phil Scranton, Peter Oosterhaus, Fred Niemeyer, and others, some people watching me now might still believe it. I can't imagine you will still believe it after today. If you do, you have a little problem. They say that the second death is figurative. That is, it's not really death. These people are alive, being purified, being trained, being in some kind of holy Bible camp, a second mortality, a second life. It's not the second death, it's the second mortality. If that's true, then death itself, the literal thing, the enemy, has already been abolished. Do you realize that? Because there's only one death in operation at this time. That is, all death is being segregated into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Death itself was cast into the lake of fire. All death is now segregated in the lake of fire. That's it. There's no more death operating anywhere else. There might be quite a few people here, and they're dead, but the point is death is still operating. If according to these people, none of the people in the lake of fire are literally dead, then Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that death will be abolished at the consummation is a sham. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh no, Paul, don't you realize? Bob Evely did away with death way back there at the end of Meon 4. Death was abolished at the great white throne. According to these people, death exists no more. People are just said to be dead, but it's a figurative death. They're not literally dead. So just what is it that is being abolished thousands of years later at the consummation? Is God finally abolishing the metaphor, the figure of speech? Is that what's being abolished in 1 Corinthians 15:26? That would have to be the case. That's grand announcement of Paul, that the last enemy is the metaphor. The last enemy of all humankind is the metaphor. But don't worry, God's going to abolish the metaphor. The metaphor of death will finally be out of the way. Figurative death will finally be no more at the consummation. That would have to be the case if we're going to go along with these dreamers who say that the second death is figurative, because they are abolishing actual death, and most of them, all of them, will agree that the first death is death. But after everybody's raised from the first death at the great white throne, that's it. There's no more literal death. And then you would have to say that Paul is abolishing the figurative usage of death in 1 Corinthians 15:26. That is blasphemous. It's stupid. It's... And I pray that after today, because again, my whole thing is the glorification of death. Can't stand it. My prayer is that by seeing a law of language, by recognizing the metaphor, which Scripture uses hundreds and hundreds of places, you'll always find the same thing. Noun on either side, literal, and the verb to be in the middle. It's always the same. Literal, literal. That's how we know. That's how we can know without anybody having an opinion, without anybody having a thought. Well, I think it doesn't matter. See, you have a law of language here, so it doesn't matter what you think. The law of language dictates it. And God invented the laws of language. God spoke to us in language. That's how he decided to reveal himself. It's beautiful. And the one who knows the most about it wins with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God. But as I said at the beginning of the show, even if it were figurative, it still can't be doing what they think it's going to be doing. I'll touch on that tomorrow. At the end of the week, I will finally get to your comments, because that won't take long. It won't take me long to do away with those who say, well, it's still figurative. I can deal with it. All right, but it's getting less and less fun to deal with it. But I had fun here, actually, come to think of it. We had a visit from Julie Newmar, and that was great. So I'm going to get to your comments a week late, but I'm going to get to your comments. I always appreciate your comments, folks. I never take it for granted that you watch this show, and I pray that we can all come to see death as the enemy that it is. It's not abolished until the consummation of the eons, but the good news is it is going to be abolished. And even though it's now an enemy, we need not fear it, because Christ has conquered death.